Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan. And I am deeply grateful you chose to join me on this August 11th day, 2019. How do you live with Greg? This is going to be the subject because everybody has to live with them human selves, them human beings in us. And I often get these questions, and I thought, well, it would probably be a good show to talk about what's going on in this inner body and the human body and take a look at it and hopefully give you some help. I want to remind you that these radio programs, as well as just about everything we do here at Aspire, me, meaning we, is done via your tax-deductible gift, your contributions. It is only through your gifts that I am able to be on the radio and to offer my TV programs on the website at aspire.org. And I hope that you will avail yourself of all of this, but I also hope you'll become a sponsor and help us sustain our work. It is not easy work to sustain. Really, it is not. It is controversial, and it is not easy to do. A spiritual practice always looks daunting to the average person. And there are loads and loads and loads of average people out there. Very, very pedestrian mentality, all worried about the same thing, their own survival, yada, da, yada, da. So for those of you who see between the cracks, between the gaps, the pauses, the spaces between everything that exists, and you understand the nature of your heart, your soul, your life, I hope you will become a sponsor and help us sustain our program so we can serve those of you who, like us, are working upon yourself. Go to the website at aspire.org, and there you will see a support Aspire or support. And if you click that little button there, a drop-down menu will ensue, and you will see all about Aspire, what we do, why support it, and the meaning of your support. And it means so much to more people than you could ever imagine. And I hope that you will avail yourself of this opportunity to serve humankind. I get questions all the time about me. And normally I just ignore them because I don't think I'm anything special or unique, or I don't think I'm anything, I just don't think it's important. I really don't. But I keep getting them and getting them and getting them. And I think people want to know a little bit about me. And I'm not going to do this like a chronology of my life because that would be boring. But I'm going to answer questions that have come to me regarding the old Gregory. And maybe this will help you in your life in some way or another to sustain a meaningful existence. The first question comes from Clara. I get this, forgive me, in Santa Clara. And I don't know if that was a joke or if that's really true. I'm going to assume it's true. You tell us not to take ourselves too seriously. How do you live with Gregory and not take him too seriously, Clara? Clara, I don't look at him as me, okay? He exists inside. He exists as the biology of what I have made my abode here on Earth in. He is the son of Ed and Jean, and I don't take it any further than that. I really don't. I don't look at his need for, superiority, or I don't look at his need for inferiority. I don't look at his need for the struggles that he puts himself through on his own without any help from me. I just don't get involved in any of that. There's no need to. When I really realized what a putz he is, and I really realized the kind of pain and sorrow he would like to bestow upon my life in the name of his arrogance or his desire, ambition, and pride, I immediately, and I mean immediately, cut him off. I just don't really feel like he's that that valuable to me. Now, once I understood that, I mean really understood that, and got a insight into how that all worked within me, that is when I really started to make a huge shift in me. How do I live with the old Gregory? Tentatively. I don't let him tell me what to do. I don't make him my pride and joy. I don't make him my enemy. I don't make him my friend. I don't make him any of those things. He is what he is, what he is, and that's it. And I don't look at it from any other point of view. There's no reason to. He has his foibles, his fetishes, his stupidity, his moments of keenness, I'm going to call it, just keenness, and I'm not going to take it any further than that. And I don't take him too seriously. So who are you hearing here? You know, that's the question. Most people take themselves too seriously. They really do. They take their ego, their pride, their vanity very, very seriously. It is all about what they can get and how important they can be and what their ego demands and what their lives seem to demand from the point of view of getting what it is they want. So when you sat there, Clara, and you emailed me this, who was doing it? Were you really asking a question you wanted an answer to? Tell us, you tell us not to take ourselves too seriously. How do you take yourself seriously? Do you think that whatever your persona wants or your body wants is absolutely important and that it should be adhered to at all costs? What constitutes the seriousness of you? If you look at it, if you really, really look deep inside and you look at what's going on within yourself, you will see that it is only the human self that is trying to get notoriety, try to gain momentum in you. And it will take all sorts of devious methods and cunning ways to make you and I believe that our ego, our entity, the entity that we came in as, our biology, the things we believe in our biology, is all that important. And because we choose to live in this idea of importance, of self-importance, we miss the whole meaning of our existence on this planet. It isn't important what I think. It isn't important what Gregory wants. It isn't important at all. Sometimes Gregory will have a point. He'll sense from his genetics, his DNA, that there is danger out there, some kind of dangerous thing that could threaten him or hurt him. And so I have to pay attention intuitively to that and understand that when he gives those signals out, that it could be a lot of different things. It could be that he's feeling insecure. It could be that he's needing attention or wanting attention. It could be that he's paranoid or schizophrenic or whatever. I don't take all of that too seriously about him because there's no end. I am not going to live my life for him. I'm not going to live my life by him. Now, that has to be fully established within oneself before you can make any real progression in your life. You have to be absolutely resolved that you're not going to live your life in accordance with whatever it is that is the Clara. And you have to start looking at her as an entity, as something that lives inside the human nature, your humanness, but that does not define you. And for me, this is just for me, Clara, I have found that humor is the only way around it. Humor that often imbibes the iconic idea of being, let's shall we say, impervious to my own stupidity. And when I start to look at my life from the premise of that, that's when it really starts getting funny to me. I am a person who loves kind of a weird humor about myself. It's something that I have worked on for many years. Looking at him, listening to him trundle on and blither on about whatever it is that he thinks is right. So there you are. I just don't take him seriously at all. I hope that you don't either, because to take yourself seriously is to miss exactly what this is all about. What else can I say? When you make a mistake and you take yourself seriously, you'll punish yourself. When you do something that's probably really well done or helpful to people or whatever, you'll take that seriously and make that, your I'm a great person kind of thing. We're not great people, okay? Greatness comes with compassion and love, with lowliness, the thing that is most lowly in me, and that is compassion, forgiveness, love. We like to think we're great lovers, but we're not. We're not great lovers. We're just, we're just who we are. You know, human beings. But you can transcend that humanness. And that's really what my work is all about. How to live in the world, but not let the world live in you. And that's the whole key to the whole shebang. That's something that most people cannot do and will not do because they're so busy trying to make a mountain out of a molehill. They're so busy trying to change the water into wine. They're so busy trying to make the human divine, and it can't be done. There is something other than the human that is divine that lives in all of us. I hope that helps you, Clara. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Robert. He does not tell me where he lives, but, listen to this. I know you work hard and long hours. Based on all of your hard work, is it worth it? Look at the world. Look at people. Is it worth it, Robert? Robert, I don't do things because it's worth it. I really don't. If I base my life on your response, and I've never heard from you, and I don't know who you really are, I've never received a donation from you. I don't know what you're interested in, what you're not, why you listen to me or watch me on TV, whatever. I don't know. I have no idea. But is it worth it? Is this for money? Is this for pride? Is this thing that I do the long hours? And I'm recording this right now at 2:45 in the morning, okay? Is it worth it to lose sleep to answer your question? I don't think in those terms because the reward isn't the deal for me. It isn't the measure I'm looking for. I am not looking for you to come and be with me. I'm not looking for you to be changed. I'm not looking for you to say, oh, Greg, you are just wonderful. Here's a donation. I'm not looking at any of that. I'm not really looking at whatever you think a person would look at for this kind of thing. So I'm not there with that. That's not my motive, my mode of operandi or anything. I do this because I can, not because I should, not because it's my job. There's a deep love in me for people, a deep, profound love. I find that I am in everybody I've ever met in this world. Anyone I've ever met lives inside me. Nothing has been by chance or by accident. So when I can be of service to you in any way, shape, or form, I'm being of service to the highest that lives within me as well. But that is not the reason I do it either. Right now, I can do all this. If you look at the website at aspire.org and you see all the radio programs I've done, all the TV programs that are there, and there are more to be put up that I've done that we haven't even converted yet. If you look at all of the commentaries, podcasts, video casts that I've done, all of the journal work I've done, you know, with the publishing of my journal. If you look at all the discourses I've made over the years, 48 years, it's boggling. It just is boggling. Prolific I have been. But that doesn't matter to me. You can see all of the work I've tried to do, but I've never done one inch of it to be able to say to myself or say to another person, look how much I've done. How much I've done is only relative to the needs that have been put before me by people who needed help. I don't really look at the body of my work and think how much body I have. I don't even look at the body of my work. Sometimes I'll go to the website to check on this or that or the other, and I'm surprised at how much is there. And I think what you're saying is based, and forgive me for assuming this, but based on how much is there and how little I get or how little change there has been in people, people have a hard time saying two things, please and thank you. They just can't do it. It's just so hard for them because the whole idea is that, you know, do your job. You should do this. You should do that. Nobody should thank you for it. And if you're in a work, a business like you're in, and people don't choose to give to you, that must mean you're a failure or you have nothing to give. That people think a lot of strange things, none of which are true. What comes from me has to be a gift. And if it is a gift, a loving gift from my heart to yours, and your heart can't accept it, that doesn't diminish my gift to you. It just means this isn't the time for you to get it. I don't do things to get a reaction. Oh, sometimes I'll say things, you know, to put a little burr in your saddle. But, you know, other than that, well, sometimes I'll say a few things that are poignant, some that are even profound at one time or another, which surprises me. I look at all these things that I've said and done and worked so hard to do, and you're right, I do work very hard, but it's not because I have to or should or I'm told to or anything. It's just because right now I have the energy to do it. There will come a day when I don't. My last words are coming up. I can feel it. So I want to be able to give you the very best that I can give you in proportion to the love that lives within my beingness. And I'm not much interested in the volume as I am in the content. Is it worth it? And then you say, look at the world. I'm not here to change the world. How could I ever possibly change the world? Who can change the world? Not Gregory Penn. For goodness sakes, not that. And I wouldn't even know what to say about that. In my little estimation as a human being, I'd want everything to be just as sweet and kind and Camelot-ish as it could be. But that's not the way it works. And I don't run the world. But there you are. It is what it is, what it is, what it is in this lifetime. And I have to be able to let love live me. And a part of letting love live me is to work as I do and to work as hard as I do, both at hospice, at the hospital, with my my counselees, with my students, with everything that I do, my new BATMO project, working with children. It's all very important to me. You are important to me, Robert. Very important. More important to me than probably you are to yourself. And that is true with everyone that I work with. It makes some people suspicious. It embarrasses the majority of people. And to others, it humbles. Is it worth it to see the world the way it is? Yes. Yes. Yes, it is. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Ken. He does not tell me where he lives. What do you do to survive all the pain of your career? It must have been very difficult. I was there in Escondido when your life was being threatened. Ken. My life was threatened because what I was offering was not the status quo. We see a lot of mental illness right now in our society. We see young people who, you know, don't have any real reason to live as they see it, and they take guns and they go out and shoot innocent people. I don't know why. Maybe they're trying to make a name for themselves. Or they think that this is just kind of dry cleaning for the world. I don't know what. I'd have to sit down. I don't like to presume. When I could see that as a mass, you can do nothing for people. Yeah, on a mass level, you can do little or nothing for people. And I try not to survive. I try to live. And I work very diligently at living, not surviving. And there is a vast difference for me. Surviving means that I do everything I can, both, shall we say, ruthlessly and cunningly to stay alive. Or I live into the answer. I let love live me. And that's my motto for me as both a man and a teacher. I let love live me. It doesn't always look like love to the pedestrian mentality, but it is. And how I know it is because it isn't about emotion or gaining or losing. I don't weigh things with Greg. If you go and you weigh things with your humanness, you will miss the whole meaning of anything you might be doing that could be loving. So you don't want to go there. You want to be able to see love for what it's worth, for all it's worth, for what it is, and allow it to form and shape and mold your entire lifetime, giving you a chance to see the bigger picture of what it is to have compassion in your life. So how do I survive the pain of my career? I don't make it painful. There are times I cry. Almost every day I cry. Every day there is a sadness that dwells deep inside me that I have to deal with over and over and over again. It's the sadness of humanity, the experience of living with people who just simply don't have a clue and don't want a clue. It's not bad to not have a clue. What really is devastating is not to seek a clue about what your life is all about and who you are. And this is where a great deal of tragedy comes up because, what can I say? How do you make a person care? You can't. You just can't. You have to come to a place where you want love more than wanting what you think is love. And that's the big one. And that's the one that most people just never get over in their entire life. Thank you for your beautiful question, Ken. And thank you for being in that audience so many years ago. I am deeply moved that you took the time to write. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful weekend. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.